You have your Bibles, open your Bibles to John chapter 12, beginning in verse 36. John 12, verse 36. And Jesus said, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." And when Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. And though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled: "Lord, who has believed what they have heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, for again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for the fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. So after Jesus is finished talking to the crowd about his death and why it was important for him to die, he hid himself from the people. This Jesus who did so many different miracles among the people, Jesus who opened the eyes of the blind, he person who could not hear, the deaf could hear, the demon-possessed person was set free, Lazarus, who was decomposing in the grave, was made alive. This Jesus hid himself from them. Yet despite all of the miracles, despite all that he did, Jesus hid himself. Why did Jesus hide himself? It is one word: unbelief. The Pharisees at this point, they put a death sentence upon Jesus. They were waiting to find a way that they could capture him and kill him. The religious leaders at this point have rejected Jesus. And for this reason, Jesus hid himself. Because Jesus was waiting for the right time to die. He was waiting for the Passover. Because if we remember, Jesus was the Passover lamb. And so he was waiting for the time of Passover before he would allow himself to be put to death. So Jesus hid himself so that he would die at the right time. Yet in this passage, we also see that there were some people who believed. Some of the authorities at the time, they did believe in Jesus. As it says in John 12, 42 and 43. Let me read that again. "That many, even of the Pharisees, believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." So yes, there were people in authority who did believe what Jesus claimed about himself, but they did nothing. They hid it. They were concerned about the Pharisees, that religious sect that was part of the Sanhedrin, the governing council. But they were afraid of the Pharisees, these other people in authority. And they were afraid of being cast out of the synagogue because the Pharisees had so much pull and so much power. And not only that, they loved the praise of man over the praise of God. Their faith was dead. They're really no different than the demons that believe in God, yet are destined to eternal hell. These people believed, but their faith was dead. They did not confess it. And ultimately, we would see the quality of their faith in Jesus displayed at the end of this week where they would crucify Jesus. So Jesus hid from the authorities, from the people, because of their unbelief. And John, in this passage, gives us two passages out of Isaiah. Two passages that describe their unbelief. That's in Isaiah 6, verse 10, and Isaiah 53, 1. Let me read those to you. Isaiah 6, verse 10 says, "Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." A prophecy from the prophet Isaiah, pointing to the time, not only of the present Israelite at that time, but pointing to the future when the people would reject Jesus. And then Isaiah 53, verse 1, "Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" These people would not hear. These people would not believe. And just like Isaiah foretold, they would not believe in Jesus because God has blinded their hearts and their eyes. Now, I don't know what your view is this morning on the sovereignty of God and man's free will and how that mystery and how that takes place. But here in this passage, we see the mystery of God's sovereignty, that he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart so that they could not see, they could not hear, and they could not believe. See, the prophet Isaiah, when he spoke this prophecy, he came to the nation that was turning away from God. The leaders were becoming corrupt, and they're beginning to worship foreign gods. And God has sent them warnings through the judges and through the prophets. Yet they continually rejected his messengers. And God begins to judge them for their unbelief. And we see the same thing taking place in the time of Jesus, where God is now judging the religious leaders for their continual unbelief, so that they could not hear, they could not see, they could not believe. I will not pretend to understand the mystery of God's sovereignty, but we see it taught here. God is sovereign, and he chooses. So again, Jesus hid himself from them because of their unbelief. What is unbelief? Anybody? So if your kid came and said, "Mommy," or a friend, what's unbelief? Not real? Okay. Anybody else? Unbelief. What is unbelief? What was that? Denial? Okay. Lack of trust. Anybody else? I came across this one definition of unbelief. I added a word to it. But the definition I came across was, it is the absence of faith. Faith. Trust. Belief. I added, it's absence of true faith. See, the litmus test of true faith is obedience, and we'll be talking about that in a moment. That's why I want to say that unbelief is the absence of true faith. But we'll be talking more about that in a minute. But again, so unbelief is generally just the absence of faith. Belief. And trusting God. But let me illustrate this. If I was to put mankind into three categories, in reference to a person's faith or unbelief, these would be the three. First, the person who does not believe in God, unbelief. They do not believe in the existence of God. This person has come to the conclusion that God does not exist, that God is a myth made up by man, and if there was a God, I'll tell you, he's dead now. Their faith tends to be in themselves, in humanity, that humanity would better themselves, that they, in a sense, because God does not exist to this person, their faith is more in themselves than in God. How many of you know of someone who does not believe in God? Raise your hand. Okay, we all do. It seems even to be a growing trend in our nation. If you watch the different movie shows or TV shows, you can see where the concept of God is being constantly attacked as being absurd or unscientific. Again, unbelief. The absence of true faith. And we're around people like that all the time in our world today. That's the first category when it comes to faith or unbelief. The second, those who believe in God or gods. This would include people from all different religions or even people that don't even have any affiliation with a certain faith. They believe in God in their own way. I believe in God, that's fine for you to believe in God your way or whatever, I believe in God. And we come across different people of different religions or backgrounds or upbringings, and they all have these ideas about God. That would be those people in the second category. But I want to add two subcategories to this group of the second main category, and that's this. Among this group, we see the nominal Christian. Nominal. What do I mean by saying nominal? Nominal is a person who professes to be a Christian, but they don't live like one. They say they go to church sometimes. They may even go to church all the time. They profess belief in Jesus. They profess that, yes, he died on the cross for me, but there is no life-changing faith, no true faith. Instead, they live like the world. There is no difference. And in some ways, they're like those people that did believe in Jesus. They don't really want to profess it. And even if they do profess it, they tend to love the glory from man more than the glory of God. They still live for themselves. Their faith is in God is dead. It is not living. Do you remember the question that James asks in James 2:14? Listen to this. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? And if we look in James 2, we'll see the answer to that in verse 17 and verse 26. Verse 17 says this, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And verse 26 says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. I've come across people, oh yeah, I follow God my entire life. Yeah, I know God. And then they've gone off and they've lived their life as if there was no God in their life. They profess Christianity thinking that will save them. What does the Bible say? God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie. And the truth is not in us. The truth is not in us. So it is true of the nominal Christian. Their faith is lifeless. It is dead. And as I said before, the litmus test of true faith is obedience. Obedience to God's word. Obedience to God's word. But also among the subcategory, in this category, in another subcategory would be, I'd also like to include the religious Christian. This type of Christian goes to church every Sunday. They tithe regularly. They give to the poor. They attend all the different church functions. They hold strictly to the do's and don'ts of Scripture. Honestly, they tend to focus primarily on the outward action of themselves or others. But inwardly, there is no life. It's profession, but no life. I mean, they would heartily agree with me this morning that, hey, the litmus test of true faith is obedience. And they would agree to it because they think they've arrived. They think that they're living a righteous life. And in some way, they think they will work. They could work themselves into heaven. Even though they say, oh no, the Bible doesn't say that. But they're really trying to do that with their actions. And in many ways, they're just like the Pharisees in Jesus' day. They think they've arrived. And they tend to judge and point their finger at everybody else. Yes, the litmus test of true faith is obedience. But the litmus test of obedience is what? The fruits of the Spirit. People could try to live God's word. They could try to do the thing outwardly for God. But unless the fruit of the Spirit in our life is produced, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, unless that is being produced through our obedience and people see it, a life-changing faith, it is dead faith. It is dead faith. Do you have the fruits of the Spirit in your life this morning? Are you walking obedience to God's word this morning? Or do you just go by how you feel? Oh, God's with me. If you feel you're right with God, does that mean you're right with God? Feelings are deceptive. The enemy is deceptive. But God's word is living. Obedience is a litmus test of true faith. Because the words of Jesus ring strong and true when it comes to the fruits of the Spirit in our life. In John 15:8, he says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." See, obedience without the Spirit are just dead works. They cannot bring life. But if we abide in Christ, His life infuses us to obedience. And through our obedience, the fruits of the Spirit will be seen from God, and it's not from us. We cannot earn it of ourselves. It is a work of God in our lives. So the first category, person that doesn't believe in God, unbelief. Another form of unbelief is a second category, those who believe in a God or gods, or the nominal Christian, or the religious Christian. Now we come to the third category, the true believer in Jesus Christ. This person has surrendered their life to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Yes, they may struggle, they may even fall, but they keep getting up, and they keep going for Jesus. Yes, there are times that their faith may seem to waver, but there's something inside of them that will not let them stop running the race. It's Jesus, and it's all about Him. Their life source is not religion, but it's Jesus Himself. And because of this, they have faith that works. A faith that is alive, a faith that bears fruit. A life that draws people to Jesus. This type of faith, Jesus does not hide from. Instead, Jesus reveals Himself to those who have living faith. Those who walk in unbelief, in a sense, He hides. Those who have living faith, He reveals more of Himself. What kind of faith do you have this morning? Is it dead faith or is it living faith? Is there unbelief in your life? And if there is, what do you do about it? Listen to Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you spending time in God's word asking Him, Lord, I want to know you.
increase my faith.
A primary way to increase faith is through drenching yourself in God's word. To increase your faith. Are you asking him for faith? Because as it says in Hebrews 12, 1-2, listen to this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Coming to Jesus, as we abide in Jesus, he builds our faith. He's the one that started it at the beginning and drew us, and he's the one that will complete it. See, one of the goals of the devil is to get us to doubt God. He wants us to walk in unbelief. And yes, there it is, part of the spiritual battle is to get us to not believe. How many of you, even as Christians, you maybe who've walked with God a long time, where sometimes things flood in your mind, these lies, making you doubt and question God? I experience it. We're in a spiritual battle. And an enemy wants to come in. And he wants us to walk in unbelief. And we need to heed the warning of the writer of Hebrews in chapter 3 of Hebrews, verses 12 to 3. Listen to this warning for us as a body of Christ. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And also listen to Paul's warning to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. If we have the worship team come forward. As Christians, we are to guard our heart against unbelief. And sometimes we are like that man that Jesus came across, that his disciples could not heal the deaf and the mutant demon possessed, right? Remember that guy? And they tried it, and they came to Jesus, and Jesus cast it out. But before he cast out, he asked the Father, oh, if you believe, all things are possible. And the Father said, I believe. Help my unbelief. Let's be honest. Sometimes we're just like that man, and we have to cry out, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. See, the Israelites could not go into the promised land because of their unbelief. It is time that we rise up, that we place our unwavering faith in the lordship of Jesus Christ. And let us not be like the religious leaders that did not confess and hid their faith. Their unbelief. And I want to ask you this morning, which category do you fall in? I really want to focus on those who profess a nominal Christian life, a religious Christian life. That's not enough. Jesus alone can save you and give you true faith. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, today is the day of salvation. Now, like everyone, close your eyes so we may pray. We can pray. Everyone, close your eyes, please. But I want to give an opportunity this morning. You say, hey, that's me. I am a nominal Christian. I am a religious Christian. And I want Jesus. I want to be a true Christian with true faith. And if that is you this morning, I ask you, with everyone's eyes closed, I ask you to raise your hand as a profession, saying, I am that person, but I want to be a true believer in Jesus Christ. If that's you, I ask you just to quietly slip up your hand and say, that's me. That is me this morning. Or if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I ask. You know, I just can't, I'm not doing it right here. I'm not right now. I can't do that. But I want to accept Jesus. I ask that you talk to me after the service. But Lord, let us pray for our unbelief. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning, if there's anyone here that does not know you, that has not surrendered to your Lordship, I ask this morning that your Spirit would convict them, that they, even if they try to leave without doing anything, that you would hound them, just touch them with your Spirit, Lord, that they could not run from you, because they could run as far as they want. They could run from your Spirit, but your Spirit is there. Your Spirit will pursue them. And I pray that you do this morning. Anyone here who does not know you, oh Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, pursue them, hound them, until they come and they bow their knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, let us worship.